Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
My sermon today is Sticks and Stones. Anybody ever heard that? May break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many of y'all have been hurt by words before, obviously? But I was thinking about MLK. In fact, even last night, Saturday night is such a great sermon. I preached it, and if that was any indication of what today will be here in a rural poem, it's absolutely going to be a lot of fun. But I changed it a little bit and called it Sticks, Stones, and Statements. And I was laying in bed last night in the middle of the night thinking about MLK as I was watching Nicole sleep there, snoring like a trucker, and I was watching her sleep, and I thought, what did the pressure feel like that he went through? If you think about it, in the middle of the night, he's worried about them bombing his house. He's worried about them shooting his kids. I mean, they're throwing literal stones at this man. Cops are throwing stones. People are throwing stones. Saying stuff like he's a liar, he's a fake, he's no good, he's a troublemaker. There's all these things that they're saying, and these statements can't help but affect you. And then I got to thinking about you. And how the enemy always comes in and tries to throw stones at you, saying you're never going to make it, and you're never enough, and you're never going to beat the addiction, and you're never going to lose the weight. Because after all, a lot of you have already made resolutions and already broke them, right? You're like, man, I thought I could make it on the diet, but I kept looking at those first three letters, die, and I just couldn't deal with it. Or I thought I was going to quit drinking, but then I'm abusing alcohol again. And so what we do is we allow the enemy to throw all these stones at us and to try to keep us down when God is the glory and the lifter of our head today. So I don't want you to focus on the point where you failed. I want you to focus on Jesus in you and that he's more than a conqueror and he can work all things together for your good. And this is your year for a supernatural breakthrough. Come on, Ferguson. Come on, World Paul. Come on, shout it again. Shout, this is my year. So sticks and stones, they come at us and they try to hurt us. They're calling us everything but what we really are. One of the things the enemy tries to do is to get you to doubt that you are the son and daughter of God. In Matthew 4, verse 3, remember this, the tempter came. The tempter came and he came to Jesus and said, if you are the son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread. If you are the son of God. How many of y'all have no doubt that God was the son of God, right? You're like, that's a ridiculous question. But the enemy knew, if I could just keep throwing those seeds of doubt in there, then the faith does not rise to them to actually overcome the obstacles that they're dealing with right now. But you know you, and I know me, so therefore we think that we're certainly not the Son of God. We have no doubt that he was, but we're not. But the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. So when the devil throws that stone at you today, saying you're not an overcomer, you're not a Christian, and if you were, you wouldn't act like this, you say, I'm not acting like a Christian. I am a Christian because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Give him praise today and now. So Jesus did not have to succumb to the pressure of the tempter because he knew, I know who I am. Everybody shout, I know who I am. 2 Kings chapter 19 is where we're going, Florida. And it's a story about this guy named Hezekiah. Everybody shout that name, Hezekiah. Hezekiah had the Assyrians coming after him, and they had already destroyed 47 other cities. They had annihilated these cities. They had taken the people of God, and they had hurt the cities and taken them down. And so verse 1 says, and so it was when King Hezekiah heard of that they were coming to his town, he tore his clothes. He covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, and he went to the house of the Lord. Number one, bad words thrown at you can bring fear. Anybody ever heard this driving down the road? Woo! Anybody? Woo! And you're like, oh, man, I got to try to get my seatbelt on really quickly, right? It induces fear. Sometimes the blood flows through your legs. You're like, ah! Anybody ever got a phone call that your heart just sunk? You open up a letter, and it was just words on paper, but your heart sunk because those words go into your spirit and your heart, and you got to make sure that when you are in trouble, like Hezekiah felt, he covered himself with sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he said, I'm going to pray into this. I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. There's a key for you. Whenever you're in trouble, always go to the house of God. Whenever you're in trouble, always go and say, God, here I am today. I'm afraid. I'm lonely. I'm hurt. The enemy has said this, that, and the other. But when the tempter comes, and the tempter comes, everybody shout, the tempter comes. The tempter comes. The tempter comes, and actually music today, we have it. The music soundtrack of the tempter coming, I wish they would cue it for me. And I read the scripture a while ago, and they didn't, but I'm going to cue it myself now. So you're in bed, and all of a sudden, you don't feel right. Now this devil comes in the room in your mind. Remember when you thought there were monsters under the bed and now they're in your head? Come on, raise your hand right now. So he comes in and he starts writing stuff on your mind like, you're never going to do this. And you're always going to be bound by pornography. You just can never overcome it. You'll always be bound by this addiction. You'll never lose the weight. He comes always saying you'll never ever win. It's exactly what he did to Jesus. But Jesus looks at him and instead of succumbing to the doubt, instead of playing into the music and the fear, he rebukes him and he says, guess what, devil? With the word, he speaks to them and rebukes him. You're rebuked in the name of Jesus. You don't even have to yell it. He just goes. Come on, give it up for such a classy devil. But the music starts playing. It says, you will never win. This is not your banner year. After all, you were buying into this whole thing. You know, it's my year to find a husband, 2020. You bought into that September, but now January is coming to a close. And you're like, if I met the guy right now, could I plan the wedding by June? Could I have the baby by December? Come on, somebody. This is real stuff that happens in your life. I'm here to tell you that the enemy's no doesn't compare to God's yes. So get into the house of God. Keep renewing your mind. Stay strong and say, this is my jubilee where all debts are canceled. All property goes back to its original owner. Somebody shout hallelujah to that. And every prisoner is released. So what did he do? He went to the house of God. Everybody shout it. He went to the house of God. Now verse 2 begins to introduce some new people to the equation. And it says, to Isaiah the prophet, they covered him with sackcloth and ashes, and they brought him ashes and brought him to Isaiah the prophet. The prophet Isaiah. Now, number one, I want to address this, that Isaiah was a prophet who was a foreteller of what would happen. There are 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. The first book of the Bible starts with in the beginning. The first chapter in Isaiah starts with in the beginning. The last chapter of Isaiah and the last book of the Bible talk about the end times. It was a prophetic word. It didn't take God by surprise the way he would start it and the way he would end it. That being said, God wants you to have a prophet in your life. That's why church is so important and the right people are important in your life so somebody can come to you with a thus saith the Lord. Come on, give God praise today. Because God has seasons and sessions set up to have you on point. Isaiah, here we go. Now, check this out. This is another funny part. Thus Hezekiah starts, he's not in the right group, so he gets really depressed. He's thinking about the problem. And he says, this is a day of trouble and a rebuke and a blaspheme. And the children come to give birth, but there's just no strength to bring them in. He's having a horrible pity party. And I know how they go because I've been there before. God, I do everything that I can. I've tried everything that I can. And then Nicole can't even make me a Hot Pocket. My kids don't appreciate me. It's Pastor's Appreciation Day and nobody even sent me a card. And then you look yourself in the mirror and you're like, look at me. I look horrible. Am I the only one that ever had a pity party? I feel like I'm looking at a bunch of liars. Come on, raise your hand right now. I'm alone up here. All right? You've had those pity parties. This is exactly where he is because he's not in the connect group. Now, here's what I'm saying. For you to be the person that you're called to be, for you to maximize 2020, you can't do it the way you did in 18 and 19. You got to have a new way of thinking. You got to have a new, a broader base of friends. So Hezekiah needed to be in a connect group. This weekend here, Royal Palm, Weldon, you know, all the campuses today here at Sunset Hills, wherever you're at, you can go in the lobby, and there's going to be people out there. Some of them are teaching you how to start up your small business. Some of them are teaching you how to build a better marriage. Some of them are teaching you about golf. Some of them are teaching you about personal fitness. There's groups at every single church, and you've got to be in that group because when you're alone like Hezekiah was, if you don't have the right people speaking to you going, yes, these rocks have come against you, and these statements have come against you, but you know what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You don't need friends like Job had. Come on, somebody. You need friends like Jesus had, and I speak to you that this is the weekend. Don't put it off. Get in a group. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to get in a group. Now, it's a day of trouble, a blasphemy. Trouble tries. Now, if we go on, it says the king and the master of Assyria sent word to reproach the living God will rebuke the word which the Lord your God has heard. The living God will rebuke the word. All the time, people speak ill against you. They've said things about you. Your ex has said things about you. People have said something about you. And God has heard every one of those words. That's why I said let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, because God has a word that he wants to put on the inside of you. And so you got to realize that God hears it and God will rebuke you. And let me tell you something. You have never been rebuked until you've been rebuked by God. God, the one who created the heaven and the earth, who holds the whole span of the world and the spectrum of your life. He knows every hair on your head or the hairs that fell off and went to your back. Come on, somebody help me. This God knows everything about you, still loves you, knows the sins that you're going to do in 2025 that you don't think you're going to do because you're going to have it together by then, but he knows in 2028 you're going to do this, and he is not even upset about it. He loves you in spite of you because he sees you around the blood of Jesus and the blood-stained glasses of Jesus, not in your sin, not in your shortcomings. That's why he said his grace is sufficient for you. So when the devil said, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, I guarantee you he knew who he was. I want you to be in a group. I want you to connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose and make a difference. Because if you don't know who you are, then people will punk you. But if you know who you are, you know I'm an overcomer. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm anointed. I'm qualified. I'm on purpose with a purpose to fulfill my God-given destiny. And hell might be giving me hell, but heaven is speaking to me. And this is exactly what Martin Luther King had, was the tenacity to move forward in faith, forward in power, to say, you know what? I got the right God. I got the right people. This is my season. I'm a history maker. I'm telling you, I'm a homeschooler who decided to build one of America's greatest churches. And I didn't come in my own name. I came in the name of Jesus to let everybody know I'm not normal. I'm not typical. I'm me. And I got to be the best me that me can be. And me is good enough. And I just decree and declare right now that you're going to have that this year if you believe, thus saith the Lord, God is for you. He is with you. He is on you. I give you 10 seconds to praise him. Come on, Florida. Hey. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. You can be seated. Verse 6. And Isaiah, King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Verse 6, he said, and Isaiah said to them, thus you say to your master, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. I want to camp there for a minute. You need to go to a church that says, thus saith the Lord. Some people pre-program the Holy Spirit right out of their churches. Like some of my friends, I love them, but they're like, I've got all my sermons booked for the rest of the year. I know exactly what I've done. They've got the templates made. They've got the graphics made. They've got everything made. And I'm like, what in the world if the Lord has something he needs to speak to you right now? And people are going through hell in August, and we got it all pre-planned. And I believe that God in his foreknowledge probably could have that. But at our church, it's a thus saith the Lord. We write songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We have supernatural revivals that we didn't even know we were going to have. We start writing songs like quick work, quick work. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. God starts moving in a supernatural church. Charged area. Look at your neighbor and say, I like my church. So he said, thus saith the Lord. So go to a church where there's a thus saith the Lord. Now speaking of thus saith the Lord, on January the 20th, everybody shout January the 20th. I want all of us here and in Florida, we in Florida, they were praying with us every day on Facebook for 20 days. And we had a supernatural outpouring of revival where literal documented cases of cancer that were healed. Deaf ears, healed. It was just unbelievable what all happened. Miracle signs and wonders. Then God spoke to me and said February 8th, 9th, and 10th, we were going to do it in Florida. And so what we're going to do is here and there, Florida, come here, because you said, woo. This is a lady from our church in Florida. I want to just show everybody at Royal Palm who's with me. She told me last Sunday, I'm going to be in St. Louis on business. I'm coming up. So give it up for our chick from Florida. Royal Palm Beach, hello. There you go. Come on, give it up for her one more time. Hurt her husband. Now, here's what I need you to understand. I need you fasting and praying. I'm talking about fasting something that hurts. I'm not saying you have to fast food, but you fast social media, fast the movies, fast coffee, whatever it is on the 20th for 20 days, we're going to fast and pray, and then we're going to stream it back to St. Louis. Like we streamed it to Florida, we're streaming it back here. And people were healed miraculously in Florida through a stream because it doesn't matter my presence, it matters his presence. Come on, somebody give God praise today. Come on, I demand you to clap. I don't like patty cake. I'll stop preaching right now. Somebody shout hallelujah. And Isaiah said to them, thus saith the Lord your God. What did he say? Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, which the servants of the king of Syria have blasphemed against God. Do not be afraid. Everybody shout, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. One more time, real loud and strong. What? Do not be afraid. The biggest problem you have is fear. That's the reason why you won't start the business. That's the reason why you will not ask the person out, because you're afraid. Fear, false evidence appearing real. You got to look at the mountain and say, mountain, be thou removed. When David looked at Goliath, he didn't say he's too big to hit. He said he's too big to miss. And he picked up a stone and by faith he released it. I believe it could have been heading in the wrong direction. And supernaturally, God began to cause the wind to come and sink it right into the forehead of that man. And he went down face forward so they would never have to face it again. I prophesy to you, thus saith the Lord, in 2020, you will not face the same obstacles that you did in 18. And in 19, this is your banner year. Who am I talking to? I know I'm not preaching to everybody, but surely I got a single mom who's cried a lot of tears. Surely I got somebody out there that had a bad report. You say, you know what? Whose report should you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Now, if we go real quick, because the time is running out, if we go down to and continue to read, it says that this group of Ethiopians come against him to make war. So again, the messengers, this is verse 9. So again, the messenger sent messages to Hezekiah. I want to introduce a guy right now that's the head of this army that's coming against him. And his name is Sennacherib. I like to call him Snackerib. Come on, somebody, it's just easier. Everybody just thank God for ribs right now. God, we thank you, McDonald's. It's bringing back the rib right now, God. Snackerib. Everybody shout it with me. Snackerib. It could be Snackerib. It could be Snackerib. If you sit too close to me and I'm hungry, I will Snackerib because I like to Snackerib. Rib. Sennacherib is coming, throwing threats against the people of God a second time. Let me talk about the second time of a battle. Sometimes you can get through the first battle of chemo, and I see it happen all the time. People get through the first battle, and then I can watch it when it comes back a second time. By the way, there's a verse in Nahum that says it will not return a second time, so always stand on that. But the devil is persistent, and so he'll come back a second time to try to wear you out. But I was watching a documentary yesterday, and it was on Muhammad Ali. And that dude could talk some smack, right? He said, you know, I fly like a butterfly, I sting like a bee. Can't nobody fight Muhammad Ali. He said, I'll sit out a challenge right now, and I'm going to fight you and you in the same day, 10 rounds, everybody. And he was just talking like crazy. But you know what? They put him in the ring, and because people believe it, and because he said it, all of a sudden now one of the greatest fighters in the whole wide world. I'm just here to tell you today that the devil comes and he tries to bring a battle against you again and tries to get you to go the second round, and you need to be prepared to tell the devil, you know what, devil, it's a banner year and I don't mind a second round. I'll go 10 rounds if you have necessary. I'll beat this cancer as many times as I need. I'll beat this addiction as many times as I need. Let me tell you, the life that you want is on the other side of the obedience that you give to God. The life that you want is how bad do you want it? You got to be able to say, come hell or high water, this is my year. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Height, death, things present, things to come. I prophesy to you right now, this is your year, but you got to want it. You got to get it. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Look at your neighbor and say, fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You better not mess with me. Second time. Everybody shout. Second time. Second time. Come on, Florida. Shout it with me. Second time. Come on, Weldon. Everybody. Second time. Second time. Second time. That's right. 2020. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying, do not let your God. Here's what the smack of Sennacherib says. He comes up and he says, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. Jerusalem will be given over to our hand. Look, you've heard what we've done to Assyria, what Assyria has done to all these other cities and utterly destroyed them. I love that line. I want to read it again. He says, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. So many times people doubt in the dark what God said in the light. Going through hell, that's why the Bible said, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. So they're talking smack, and they said, hey, listen here. See what we did to these other 47 cities? He said, see what we did to that city. See what we did to Rephes. See what we did to Haran. See what we did to Gaza. See what we did to all these cities. And so all of a sudden now, because Hezekiah got around Isaiah, important. He got around the right people, so now faith is in his heart. And he said, you know what? You took out city number 27. You took out city number 42. You took out city number 47, but you ain't never come up against Jehovah. I'm talking about Jehovah my God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Makedes, Jehovah Shalom. I'm here to preach today. I don't always preach like this, but the days I do, you need to learn to participate. You ain't never came up against our God. Our God is a true and living God. Our God is the one who created the whole world, the cosmos, by himself with a conversation with himself. Our God's the God that looked down and with his big finger began to put the Mississippi River in, began to put the Ohio in, began to tell the ocean, this is far as you come. You ain't never come up against our God. Our God is bigger than the devil. This is our year in the name of Jesus. Somebody give it praise. 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 Let the devil know you're not stopping. Let the devil know I ain't going back to hell. I ain't going back to that. No, 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 never. Nunca. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. I said, ain't nobody mad but the devil. A lot of times I just teach, but today, last night, Saturday night, jacked me up, and I got it to preaching. And I like it. Look at your neighbor and say, let's go get some ribs when this is done. Say, I don't know why. You can sit down. Snack a rib. I'm ready to snack a rib. Snack a rib. Now, verse 14 says, and Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messenger. Now, notice sticks, then stones, and now he got himself a letter. All words. That's why you got to get in a group, because if you get the right group around you, they will show you the letter as in the red letters from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 and 21. And now you're saying, God says I'm blessed. The devil said you're not. Doesn't matter. God said I'm blessed. God said I'm healed. God said I'm favored. You got to believe that your Father is bigger than the devil. You heard that sermon the other day that Nicole preached. We were preaching in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, and at 4 a.m. or something like that in the morning, I hear my daughter screaming on the door, Dad, help me, Daddy, help me. She's standing there in her little panties in a hallway at a big casino where some guy had broke into her bed and stood over her and told her to shh, shh. And she jumped up screaming, I'm not going to shh, shh. And she ran out of there and started beating on the hallway door. She was trying to find me. She called security. Security came, but even with the big bodyguard, she knew, I know they got guns, but I need my daddy. Come on, somebody. And as soon as I woke up, I came out of there and I looked. All I knew is my daughter standing in her underwear and two guys were there. Immediately, they became enemies. Who did it? What happened? Who was in there? Did they touch you? What happened? Why? Because I was going to, I said, I will subpoena every security camera in this place because somebody, how'd they hurt you? How'd they touch you? I'm telling you, your God has got security cameras for everybody that ever violated you. I wish somebody would understand what I'm saying today. This is the year that God's going to make the devil bring back your marriage, bring back your money, bring back your ministry. You got to shout, I just got to get to my daddy. I got to get to my dad. Where's my dad? All these hotel rooms look the same. Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? She found me. She had to go down a weird elevator to get to another elevator to get to a floor that I was at. But she said, no matter what, if I could only get to my dad, I just got to get to my dad. I don't need cops. That's great. But I just need to get to my daddy. I'm telling you, your God is the God that created the whole earth. And he really is not just a God, a religious God. He is God as an Abba Father, whereby you can cry, Daddy, Daddy, I need you to help me. Daddy, I need money. It's the prayer I prayed to build this church. It's the prayer I prayed to build Ferguson. It's the prayer I prayed to go through hell on Weldon. It's the prayer I prayed to build this. I never had the education. I never had the money. But I would run to God saying, God, I know that you can do it. Give me the tool. Give me the resources. Help me to help your people, God. I'm not just preaching today. I got a word. This is a thus saith the Lord. You can be seated. I got 6 minutes and 18 seconds before I go to Earth City and do it again. Then I'll come back here and do it again. Then I'll go to Earth City and do it again. You got to be in shape to do this. You got to snack a rib. Come on, somebody. Might snack a rib on the way by. So check this out. Here's what's important. By the way, speaking of ribs, I don't know if you ever heard the joke, but Adam, he came to God and he said, it's so lonely up here. And God said, you know what? I can make a woman for you. She'll rub your back. She'll rub your feet. She'll help you name all these animals. She'll be awesome. He said, how much that cost you? He said, it cost you an arm and a leg. And he said, what can I give for a rib? Come on, somebody else. Now, verse 20. Verse 20 says, then Isaiah, here's that prophet again. You need a prophet in your life. Then Isaiah sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the God of Israel. Check this out. Here's a key phrase for you. Because you have prayed. Everybody shout it. Because you have prayed. Come on, all campuses right now.
Because you have prayed.
Every campus. Well, then come on.
Because you have prayed. This is what he said. Because you have prayed. So apparently there's a real power in prayer. The devil tries to keep you from praying. Some people say, I can't believe you talk about the devil. The devil's not real. He is real. The devil's the one that convinced you that he's not real, stupid. He is real, real. He's really real. But God is really real. So you don't pray when you feel good. You pray all the time. The Bible said, pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God. You pray. Come here, Doug Clayton. Run up here real quick. So God does supernatural things when there is an absolute, it's impossible. Everybody shout, because you have prayed. Because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, I have heard. God hears you. Everybody shout it with me. God hears me. Many times people think, if I can get to you, I can get my prayers heard. One day I got a call from Doug. We grew up together. He was on Manchester Road, and he was hit on a motorcycle. He was on his motorcycle and hit him. And everything that was on the inside came on the outside, and everything, it was just, he was pretty much dead. They brought him back, but they said, he'll never walk again. He'll never talk again. He's a dead man. And so I went up to the hospital, and I began to pray over him. And they said, he's gone. There, he's not even here. He can't even hear you. And I started speaking to Doug, and I said, Doug, you're coming out of this. Doug, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you're healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I say you'll live and die. You'll live and not die in the name of Jesus. I declare that your spirit, man, is strong, that you're well able for this fight, that you're going to make that happen. And then a few days later, they said, he's still not active. He's still in a coma. A couple weeks later, he's still in a coma. He's still not active. But you got to have the right people in your connect group. Because when I was 8 years old, I was with him. We used to steal his dad's car at 10 and drive around. Come on, somebody. I was like, he ain't dying. I just speak in the name of Jesus. And then one day I went in there and his hand was there. And I said, if you can hear me, squeeze my hand. And he squeezed my hand. I said, he can hear me. He's coming out of this thing. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Doug's going to be healed. And guess what? About a week later, he came out, and then he started crunching ice. He said, I want ice. I want ice. And he said, it's so good. And he said, he could talk a little bit. And he said, if I ever get out of here, I want to come to church every Sunday. I want to obey God. I want to praise God. I said, if. No, that's the devil's patching out. You're coming out of here, Doug. You're coming out of here. And then, how many surgeries?
Too many to count.
I mean, literally hundreds of surgeries. And then they came in there and they started doing work. And they put they took all this skin graft and they started putting his body back together. And then they started putting all this stuff in here. He wasn't near as good looking as he is now. They started putting his face in and started making him look so good. He came out about 8 or 9 months later with an attitude, a little cocky because he looked like Brad Pitt. Come on, somebody. And I'm here to tell you, that's been how many years now?
40 years.
20 years ago. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Thank you, Doug. I said somebody ought to praise him. Somebody ought to praise him. I said somebody ought to praise him. I can pick him out of every crowd and every church. God's not dead. He can fix you up, raise you up when you messed up, and make you better than you were. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. I said he's never lost a battle. Be seated. I got about 30 seconds left. Verse 30 says, and there was a remnant. Somebody said, keep going. I got to go to another church. I want you to preach all day. That's why I do like streaming, because I could go longer, but I haven't been here in a while, so I got to go. And the remnant who escaped from the house of Judah. Judah. Judah means praise. Everybody shout, Judah means praise. What the devil didn't know is all those other 47 cities, they had regular names, but this one had a praise name. The Bible said that praise stops and steals the avenger. The Bible said when you're in battle, always send the praisers out first. That's why when we go into the revival, we're doing 20 days of prayer and praise every morning, because we're going to pray and praise our way into a spontaneous, wild, overflow, Holy Ghost pandemonium party in Florida. Come on, I need somebody to clap with me today. I'm not preaching a nice sermon, so don't clap nice. Come on, somebody. So there's a remnant who escaped from the house of Judah, and they'll take root downward, and they'll bear fruit upward. Verse 32 says, thus saith the Lord concerning Sennacherib and all his people. He shall not come into this city, he shall not shoot an arrow in this city, nor will they come in it with a shield, nor will they siege it with a mound against it. By the way Sennacherib came in is the same way that sucker's leaving. He shall not come into this city, thus saith the Lord, for I will defend this city, I will save this city for my sake and for my servant David. I'm here to tell you right now, I prophesy over to you. It wasn't a made-up, fictitious thing. God told me to prophesy over you that in 2020, all debts would be released, all prisoners would be restored, and all property would go back to its original owner. In other words, this says when you pray, what the devil said with his sticks and his stones, it will not prevail. Guess what? If the devil said you're going to die, be prepared to live a long time. If he said you're not going to get married, get ready to have a whole bunch of opportunities, and you pick which one you want. Get ready to have kids. Get ready to bring forth fruit. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But this isn't easy. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight of faith. But guess what? This is a great fight of faith. And a great fight of faith is the fight that we fight in our mind, because we're not trying to get the victory. We are prophesying from a place of victory. Give it praise.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.